Former megachurch pastor's video goes viral when he states that their church was now going to become LGBTQ affirming, only to have 2 years later him say that he doesn't care what the Bible teaches and is now a New Age psychedelic drug guru. And New York Magazine puts out an article stating that it's selfish to have children. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about Pastor Ryan Meeks, as well as New York Magazine, or should I say former impastor. I think I took that line from someone else, but former Pastor Ryan Meeks, as well as I said, an article that recently came out that New York Magazine posted regarding people that are having children in this day and age. And I'll read from them when we get to it. And these stories are really important for us to understand and to see really where a lot of the target practice is going to be going towards when it comes to us as believers and what we're called to do. And I think that's really important for us to understand. And this all goes back to something that typically on a normal 5:11 News, you will hear us talk a lot about the fact that when someone goes against the word of God, that which God has already spoken, that is when we begin to see the thread unraveling from that sweater. And the reality is when Pastor Ryan Meeks of East Lake Community Church in Washington came out with a video that actually went viral. We had this video sent to us back in 2015. People said, whoa, did you see what happened over here? Because the fact is that East Lake Community Church was somewhat of a mega church with 8,000 members attending at the time that Ryan Meeks came out with this video that, as I said, went viral online because it seemed like he was the first mega church pastor that became gay affirming before an audience. So I'm going to let you hear just a snippet of about the 16-minute teaching that Ryan Meeks actually did when expressing to his church that they are now going to be gay affirming.
And that's why today I want to be really clear that as a pastoral team, and as much as probably someone will try to spin this and say, Ryan, the dictator, made a decision and whatever. That's not how we do things here, as much as you'd like to believe that. As much as I'd enjoy that, actually. But we did this in an unanimous movement, trusting that we really believed that the Holy Spirit is what brought us to this. I need to say this really clearly because words matter. At Eastlake, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people, brothers and sisters, you are officially encouraged and supported to be involved in the life and work of this church at all levels. I want you to know that this is a place where you can be known and celebrated, and you can find belonging.
Now, I want to point out a couple of things there. I know that's a short clip. There's a longer video that goes alongside of that. But there are certain words that really stick out to me. And I want to express this because this is something that we've talked about a lot. And it's not like, oh, you guys are just really prophetic in your speaking. But typically what happens is when someone begins to no longer affirm what is clearly written in Scripture, and when they begin to find loopholes away from it, they begin to do that in other places, in other areas, until eventually they have just turned the Bible into a buffet. And what they have done is taken out the pieces that they wanted to eat and partake in, and thrown out the rest. And that's not what we get to do with the scripture. That's not what we get to do with that which what God has spoken. God has spoken it. We don't get to tell God, well, I only like these times when you speak. You think about it. I love the fact that Abraham was called a friend of God. I love that scripture. And you think about you and I'm sure you have friends in your life. And if when you spoke, your friends never believed what you said, either you're the liar, and the Bible says God does not lie, he cannot lie, either you're the liar or your friends really don't trust you and they're not really your friends. And when it comes to scripture, if I don't trust God at his word and I believe in this God that cannot lie, but then think that his word can sometimes lie to me, then I'm the one who is not a good friend. And in fact, I'm no friend at all if I don't put trust in the one who is trustworthy by his nature. And so when I think and when I see pastors or Christians say things like this, well, we don't really believe that here, or we don't really trust that here, or, you know, we affirm these things, I know right away that unless they repent, they are going to be going down a trail. They're going to be running down a hill with all momentum being pushed by Satan himself, who was the one who asked, hath God said, who had Eve questioning God's nature, questioning his word, and both of those things coincide with one another with that question. Has God really told you that? When you ask that question, what you're saying is, when God has clearly dictated something, not I saw a dream or I saw this vision or I saw this, but when God has clearly dictated in his word, which is more sure than him speaking from the clouds even, when God has made this clear to us in his word, and somebody says, has God really said? What they're questioning is not only his word, but his very nature. Because if you have to come to a place where you question whether or not God is right, you are worshiping a God that is one of your own imagination. Because God is always right. He is always true. He cannot lie. So this questioning that starts will always lead someone down a trail that will ultimately lead them to denying God himself. And they do it in the name of what they call love. But here's the problem. There is no one who by their nature outside of God himself that is love. 1 John chapter 4 says in two different occasions, God is love. Not that God loves sometimes, not that God loved when you just did this, but God in his very nature is love. That's who he is. And so when I say I know better than the one whose very nature is love, and I'm going to show him how I affirm people, guys, this is where we go, that's a lie. That's not truth. That's not in line with God, his word, and his nature. It's not in line with it. And so when I look at this and he uses that word, first of all, that we didn't, I wish I could dictate and be a dictator at this church, but we have elder board and we came together. And what that really is an entire group of blind men leading the blind into a ditch. And the fact that he said the Holy Spirit is what led them there. I'm going to prove to you through the fruit that came out of this confession in 2015, and then another confession that came out in 2017, and where he is today, that the Holy Spirit, without a doubt, doesn't leave you astray. First of all, I have his word more sure. And here is how I know, because in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16, it says, for we do not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power of God and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. One of the things we can affirm from these texts is that Peter, who is writing this, says, hey, I saw it. And he goes in to talk about the Mount of Transfiguration and so forth, and about how amazing it was. But guess what? We now have a word more sure. And here's what it says, starting at verse 19. And we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention to the light, to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture, nothing that was written down in the scriptures, in the graphe, and by the way, in this very letter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, right here, verse 20, that no prophecy of scripture, graphe, becomes a matter of someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy has ever been made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So this guy's saying, I believe the Holy Spirit is the one who's leading us to accept and confirm and celebrate homosexual, practicing homosexuals in those practicing relationships. But the problem is, when I look up that word scripture and how Peter uses it here in chapter 1 and then again in chapter 3 to affirm what? To affirm what? Paul's writing as well as scripture. So when Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, that no homosexual will inherit the kingdom of God, then I have to say it was not the Spirit that came to Ryan Meeks and told him, make sure that your church is now affirming and celebrating homosexual relationships. I can know that that was a lie. And 1 John chapter 4 told us to test the spirits. It tells you and tells me to test the spirits. And the problem is, whatever spirit came to him was not from God. Because in 2017, Ryan Meeks would then go on to say, I don't care what the Bible says. The Bible has a lot of things wrong. So this Holy Spirit, that's what he thought it was, but it was another spirit, told him that the prophetic word made more sure than God speaking from the clouds. The prophetic word made more sure that God says that nobody just did it by their own will, by a human being, but that God himself is ultimately the one that wrote it. Ryan Meek says, no, I don't believe that anymore. And then I'm going to read as an update his own Who I Am right now that's up on RyanTMeeks.com. It says, in 2010, following some significant grief and loss. By the way, they started Eastlake Community Church there in Washington. And as I said, it grew to over 8,000 people. He's at a place now, I believe, that he meets with people online and maybe 100 people now join him. And praise God for that. Because a lot of times people have these mega churches. Biggest church in the country is Joel Osteen's church. He's a self-help guru, not a believer in Christ, really. I don't believe he actually knows the risen King. A lot of the biggest churches, you go into any state, type in the biggest church, there's going to be a prosperity gospel teaching church, a word of faith church, false, you know, signs and wonders church. You can go over, or you can find churches like Stephen Furtick's and so forth, seeker-sensitive churches. You could go right here, Saddleback Church, and find Rick Warren. So a lot of times when you see all these big numbers, a lot of times it's because people are getting their ears tickled, as the Bible says would happen in the end times. But we are not to do that. We're supposed to preach the word in of season and out of season. But I want to show you the painful process of deconstruction from somebody who affirmed homosexuals, not in the sense that God died for them, which I would affirm. And the great things about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9, 10 is when you get to 11, that the repentant, such were, not such are, not such currently are practicing these wicked things, whether lying, thieving, or adultery, fornication, right? Those who are practicing those things, not such are some of you, such were some of you, but you were washed by Jesus Christ. You had the washing of regeneration. You now are a new person in Christ. You now become more and more like Jesus, which has no sexual wickedness and adultery and debauchery and all of these things. You don't practice these things. That's not the narrative of your life, as 1 John 3 would talk about, between the children of God and the children of the devil, those who practice sin versus those who practice righteousness, that the narrative of your life, that doesn't mean you don't stumble, but the narrative of your life is one of victory. That is what we are as believers. But then when we look at this, we can watch and see, so that this is my hope and prayer. You see this, and those times where you're like, well, maybe this, maybe that, I think I need to be more loving in this ways. If you're not more loving to someone, then yeah, we need to work on that. But loving is never affirming a lie. Loving is never living by a lie. Loving is not telling someone they're doing just fine and patting them on their back while they go to hell. That's not loving at all. If somebody was about to drink poison and you didn't stop them from doing it and do everything in your power to stop it, it's not loving to be like, I don't want to offend their feelings. I don't want to offend their feelings. It would hurt them. And the truth is that whether someone is living with their girlfriend, sleeping with them, and living this lifestyle, and you say nothing to them in love, it's not like you're just yelling and screaming at somebody, but trying to wake them up from what they are in. If you're not doing that, then you are not loving them. You are affirming them. You are being a coward by affirming someone that is walking in something that will take them straight to hell. If we look at any of the vice lists under the new covenant, when we see the 1 Corinthians 6 list, when we see Galatians 5, when we see Revelation 21:8 about those who will go to the lake of fire, when we read these texts over and over again, and we don't warn people about that, that's not loving. If you see someone's tire is low, I hope that you would say something, let alone you would warn someone who was falling into these sins that will keep them from the kingdom of God. And I just want to point that out before we read this, because I don't want someone to say, oh, you just want to, you know, Westboro Baptist, it's some weird cult family, literally family, the Phelps family. It's almost entirely only made up of a family. And yet the media gets to grab them and use these people who aren't true believers in Christ. They hate the one true God. There's no way you could love God and hate your brother as they do. That's just 1 John 3:15 stuff. They don't have eternal life in them. That group is a cult. But nonetheless, we want to be somebody that doesn't affirm, but we use the word of God for what it's used, the correction and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work, that we would reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, that we do this with long-suffering. It's not always easy, so that we don't become like Ryan Meeks, where our God is our belly, where we don't trust the Lord our God, that we lean on our own understanding and no longer put our trust in him and what his word has said. Because here is the painful process, and that's what he actually calls it. So in 2010, following some significant grief and loss, ever-deepening relationships with people outside my faith tradition, unevenly yoking yourself with non-believers, participation in international relief work, and way too many books. International relief work, isn't that interesting to call it that? Probably because the gospel wasn't being preached. I'm telling you right now, if you go on a mission trip and the gospel is not preached and all you do is build someone a house, especially if you're building a house for someone to just fornicate in or something, or to get drunk in and throw parties in or whatever it may be, and you do nothing to preach the gospel, that is a useless endeavor, and they can have a nice little house to go all the way to hell to. Preach the gospel if you're going to be someone going on mission trips. And if you ever go on a mission trip that didn't preach the gospel, repent. And also, don't ever send a dollar. Don't ever help that ministry if they do nothing to preach the gospel when they go on these international relief work, as he calls it. He says, and way too many books, my worldview deconstructed. We talk about the deconstructionist movement, right? We talk about so many of these guys, whether it was John Steingard of the band Hawk Nelson, whether it was Rhett Link from Good Mythical Morning, or, you know, any number of these, you know, self-proclaimed Christians that, you know, eventually deconstructed their faith. One of the things that we always try to bring up is the fact that typically, when you look at their deconstruction, they never went to the right people in order to get the help that they needed, right? And, you know, when my plumbing goes out, I don't go down the street and ask the guy making my bowl at Chipotle, can you help me with my plumbing, right? When my house needs any sort of repair, whether it's, you know, plumbing and so forth, I go and find somebody who's a plumber. So when my faith is deconstructing, I go to a shepherd. I go to someone who, hey, I'm having a tough time with these questions and I need answers for them. And that should do something for all of us. Make sure you can be someone that can shepherd someone, whether you are a pastor, elder or not. What you as a believer should be someone that's always ready to give a hope for the defense, or give a defense for the hope that is within you. That is so big for us. We need to be ready to do that. And that is the requirement of every believer, because you are an ambassador. You are calling people to be reconciled to God. So when somebody has these faith questions, we need to be ready to answer them and help them out. It says, it was a painful and lonely process, but it ultimately led me to make some significant changes in the structure and teaching at the church. Over time, Eastlake evolved into more of a quirky inner faith and non-faith spiritual community with a deep appreciation for all great teachers of love and self-actualization. Self-love. That's not true love. That's not the love that we have in Scripture. Give me a break. In short, we began a slow 5-year exit from Christianity, which included a Time magazine feature of our apology, and then public affirmation, celebration, and inclusion of our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. But it wasn't all smooth sailing. I spent considerable amount of time in therapy and other healing modalities to cope with all the turbulence, betrayals, and angry people we dealt with as a result. Well, I would say a couple of things here. Yeah, there are going to be people upset when you denigrate the word of God and the nature of God and who he is. I think people are going to be a little upset. And I think they have a right to be upset. Not to the point where they get to anger and start, you know, cursing or something like that. But to the point they're saying, what is going on here? What are you talking about? You don't think they felt betrayed when you went against the true God? I'm sure that they did. And, you know, the Bible does say, be angry yet sin not. We don't want to get to a place where we're sinning in our anger, but there is a righteous anger we should have for the body of Christ. And when you hear that 8,000 people are coming to a worship service thinking that they're getting the word of God, and I didn't know this person before that video came out, so I had no idea what they taught, to know that for 5 years prior, he had been getting ready for this and kind of hiding it behind closed doors, what his real feelings were about the word of God. Yeah, that's an issue. That would be something that people would probably be upset about. And I think righteously upset. He said, I was so beat up and exhausted that I rolled in a week-long deep dive into my heart called the Hoffman process. The Hoffman process. I'm going to read from you what the Hoffman process is. It was founded in 1967 in Oakland, California by Taylor Bob Hoffman as Fisher Hoffman Psychic Therapy, after Hoffman claimed to have had a vision of the late psychiatrist Sigrun Fischer, who appeared to him and told him the key to emotional healing is to undo, quote, negative love, unrealistic expectations, and manipulations which parents saddle their children with. Claudio Naranjo, later known for being one of the popularizers of the Enneagram, might have to do a show on that, helped develop the program further by adding material from the Human Potential Movement to Bob Hoffman's spiritualist psychic notions. Guys, this entire thing is caught up with spirit guides and psychic contact, and I want to read from you some of the stuff that now Ryan T. Meeks, the former pastor of the Eastlake Community Church, some of the stuff that he now offers. This is the stuff he now offers. Wilderness retreats, to immerse the wilderness experience that explore the connection between nature and the psyche. It's not necessary to have some kind of religious framework to engage with this work. We will open to the land itself, dream work like minded companions, and nature-based wholeness practices from the work of Bill Plockton. This is another thing he offers, spiritual direction and holistic coaching. I employ deep listening and mirroring inquiry to help each individual develop a closer relationship to soul, intuition, or the God space. Another thing he offers, building your sacred myth. If you have transcended your childhood faith or your worldview has deconstructed and you're wondering what to do, how to cope, how to relate to your partner, and you need someone to talk to in order to know what's on the other side, I'm your guy. And then here's another one, psychedelic integration. The Western industrial civilization is the only group in the entire human history that doesn't hold non-ordinary states in great esteem and doesn't have any use for them, actually has pathologized them. Every other culture has spent a lot of time and energy trying to develop ways of inducing non-ordinary states. He's quoting Stanislav Grof. Now, let me tell you what he means by that. One of the greatest honors of my life is to hold non-judgmental safe space for individuals and groups seeking personal healing and spiritual awakening through drugs, psychedelics. I coach individuals before and after a journey into non-ordinary and transpersonal states of consciousness through the use of various etiogenic medicines. Etiogenic medicines. Give me a break. You know what it's called in the Bible? That stuff's called witchcraft. It's called sorcery. And this, if you listen to every one of those spiritual journeys, the worshiping of the created things of God and so forth, would you not just read from Romans 1 and know that that's exactly what he's talking about? First and foremost, when you talk about Romans 1:16, not being ashamed of the gospel, the fact is this man was ashamed of the gospel. Then guess what? After being ashamed of the gospel, not going back to God's word for his answers, what did he do? He suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. That is exactly and precisely what Ryan T. Meeks has done here. He has suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. And in suppressing that truth, this is what's happened. Because that which is known about God is evident within him. God's made it evident to Ryan that there is a God. He can try to deconstruct all he wants, but he knows better. For God had made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Ryan and everyone who follows these journeys are without excuse. He is a blind man leading blind men into a ditch. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. That's exactly what's happened. This man's heart has darkened more. I could believe in the prophetic witness of Scripture on his testimony versus Romans 1 alone. 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. This is what happens. And guess what happens? You become fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and of crawling creatures. Ryan T. Meeks first made a God in his own image, that every personal conviction that he decided to hold, he looked in that mirror and said, I will follow that God. And now he worships beasts. Now he worships the very thing that my God says is his footstool. This earth is his footstool. And now he's got people out there worshiping it. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Just read the nonsense that this guy's gotten into. Spirit guides, right? This guy had a vision of, you know, some psychiatrist, and now this is what saved me. This was my salvation. He found it in something else. He exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship had served the creature, rather than the creator, who is blessed and forever. And what happens? For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. The fact is that this is what takes place when you get away from God's word. Over and over again, we could just go to it. Go to God's word and then watch these deconstruction stories. They all start with the same thing, affirming. And what does God say about affirming people's behavior that are worthy of death? Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, which this is exactly what T. Meek says, God gave them over to the depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So what's he doing? Psychedelics, getting people involved in drugs and pharmakeia, witchcraft, sorcery. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. That's what this man has become, a hater of God. Insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And here it is. And although they know the ordinance of God, this guy knows better. God's given us a conscience that bears witness against us. He's given us his Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's written his law in our heart that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They do not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. This man needs to repent. He needs to turn to Jesus. His story is one of many. You know, I wanted to go into what took place recently in an article written by New York Magazine. But I think even though it's at the end, this will attach very nicely to this. Because what they said is that you choose out of desire, fulfillment, and self-betterment, and curiosity, and boredom, or baby mania, or peer pressure, to bring a new human into this world. And it's an essentially selfish endeavor. Once again, as soon as you go against the one true God, you come up with nonsense, and silly talk, and ridiculousness. The Bible is really clear in Psalm 127 that guess what? Children are the gift from the Lord. This is the kind of nonsense where you don't know the logos, when you don't know the word of God that we are made in the image of, throw all logic out the window. You can be just like Ryan T. Meeks. You could be just like New York Magazine here. But the fact is we need to turn, put our trust in who God is, what his word says. Turn from this. Turn our eyes to the Lord and cry out what Moses cried out. Lord, teach me your ways so that I may know you. Same thing in Psalm 86:11. Lord, teach us your ways. And may we fear you, Lord. That's what we want. We want to fear the Lord, put our trust in him, and turn aside from all these wicked teachers, false teachers, and blind, and pray that they would repent and turn and put their trust in the one true God. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 5:11 News.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.